This is HMM correspondent Erica Dalton-Adiggs, and I'm speaking with Mac Henderson. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine today, man. How are you doing today?
I'm well, you know, just COVID. Why did you become a Little League coach?
I played the game as a young fella back in the 70s. My godfather was a coach when I came home from the Marine Corps. He asked me one day, "You want to help out?" And I said, "Yes." This was back in 1985.
So, wow.
Yes, back in 85. It's been a while. So, I said yes. And I helped him out. And I liked what I was doing. But the most important thing, it was helping me. Coming home from the service and getting involved in stuff in the community. It was helping me to readjust. So that was, yes, good for me, but it was also good for the community for me not having the knowledge of the game. Because I did play in the service as well.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay. What's your background?
My background is I'm from Troy, but I lived in multiple places as a child because I had parents who were separated. The parents who raised me, they were separated, and I lived in multiple places. During the school year, I stayed in Troy. Well, when the school year was over with, I would start Little League, because Little League was during the school year, but I would never finish Little League. I ended up playing baseball down in Hudson, New York. If it wasn't in Hudson, New York, I was playing in Brooklyn. So this was the stuff I was doing as a child, and my background consists of really learning a hard lesson, because being with a single mom and having a father who was away, it was kind of difficult. And coming into an area like Troy back then, Troy wasn't as wild as it is right now, but it had its culture problem. It was a culture problem in Troy back then. But otherwise than that, my background is great. Like, you know, I went to Troy High. I spent time in the military, and I have been through a lot of diversities as a young adult. Okay.
Okay. And what inspires you to help out children?
Me. I look at me and how I grew up. I look at me like I was saying, you know, coming out of a single family. You know, I had no brothers and sisters at home, so there was no other role models at home. But my mom was my role model. So, you know, I had cousins, you know, that I looked up to. But, you know, as having brothers and sisters in the home, like most families that I was raised up around, they had brothers and sisters. And, you know, they always had somebody to talk to or to lean on that would understand them as a teenager, as a young child. I had a lot of great friends, but they wasn't equal to that, to that part of having a mentor. So when I look at myself, now into that child's life, to who I see looks lonely, who I see might be going in the wrong direction, I become a mentor to them. I become more than a big brother, more than a father figure. I become more than a friend. I become somebody that they could turn to in time of need when there's trouble in their life, because I know that feeling. I definitely know that feeling about the trouble in your life. So these children, you know, they will come and they will trust me and they will open up like, "Coach, what should I do about this? I don't understand this. Nobody's helping me." You know, I become that person to go to. So this is where that mentor really comes in, and it becomes a hope in somebody else's life. Because if you didn't have that hope in your own life, you can't give hope to nobody else.
Amen.
And, you know, and I had to learn how to spread that out. And it has become bigger and better than me. Like I said, bigger and better than me. Because I had to turn to God first before I could understand who I was.
Okay. And how long have you been involved in your community for?
Oh wow. It's probably 2 decades now.
Sound like a veteran to me.
Yeah, I'm a veteran. I'm a
we're
veteran.
Not
we're
military,
doing,
you know, veteran for the community, and that's always amazing.
Yes, you know, I got involved when I was in the military. I came home from the military, then I slacked up, you know. Then I got back, I got re-involved in the late 90s, about 95. I got re-involved around 95, 96. And I've been doing it since then. So you got 85, took a break, came back in 95, 96, and been steady going strong since then.
Okay, so how are you going to do the Little League while following proper COVID-19 guidelines? Because, you know, it sounds like it could be risky.
Little League Incorporation headquarters out of Williamport have gave us some guidelines to work with. But also, other little leagues has posted the guidelines that they're using as well. So there's so much information out there to make sure that you are having a safe and great season. And as long as we stick to the program, now here's where everything's got to fall. As long as we stick to the program, as long as our families and our players understand what the program really is, it's gonna work. But if nobody sticks to the program, as the president of the Little League, I will evaluate it, I will meet with the board, and I will suggest to shut it down. If nobody don't want to follow the protocols. But if they follow the protocols, we're gonna have a successful year and we're gonna have a lot of fun. It's all about following the rules.
That's right. Now, do you have any like upcoming events coming up?
Yes, we do. This weekend, the 4th of July, well, Saturday, I keep saying the weekend. This Saturday, we're going to have, It Starts Here. We're calling it Starts Here. They're empowerment of Troy and families and residents and getting people out in front of their house. And we're going into an area where it has been so much violence in recent weeks. And, as we speak, there was violence here, last night around that area. So what we're going in there to do a block party, and we're going to be serving, and we're going to be tabling that community, which is by the Little League as well, serving that community and letting them know that you're not alone, because a lot of these communities, they feel so alone and so abandoned that they have this fear that nobody really cares about them. They just feel so alone. So we're going there to try to brighten up the area and letting everybody else know that violence is not going to be tolerated in this area, especially when there's a lot of kids that come through this area. And we're going to make a message by, you know, put your guns down, stop the killing, stop the shooting around this area where there's a lot of children in this area. We don't want no children to get hurt. We don't want no residents to get hurt. We don't want no homeowners who live there for all their life to be living in fear and not coming out to be able to sit in the yard. We want to bring peace. And then the most important thing, this here don't just stop right here at North Central. This is a citywide problem. So these block parties, you're going to see them rising up all over the city and in different communities, because we have people in groups that are so sick and tired of what's going on that they're going to start these block parties as a way of showing support to the city of Troy, to all the residents in Troy, letting them know that we can come together and do this in the mighty and have a lot of strength to do it with.
Okay. How can the people reach you?
Well, there's many ways of reaching me. You can reach me on social media. I do a lot of stuff on social media. You know, I advertise on social media about the Little League. You can do the media center, Sanctuary Media Center, which I'm partnered with. You know, you can do that, Troy Central Little League. You can even go into the community, just ask me. Somebody's going to direct you right straight to me. So there's many ways to really get to me. I just don't do baseball. I'm also a coach at Richmond High School. Mm-hmm. I coach with the varsity basketball team.
Out there,
I've been doing that since 90. Oh, here we go again. Since late 90s, early 2000s. I have been around and I've been doing a lot of stuff with the two communities, Rensselaer. I was on the Department of Youth Board for a while. I served on the Department of Youth Board in Rensselaer, and now I'm back in my home city, Detroit.
Well, you have an impressive resume, if I may add. I'm sorry, but you definitely up there.
I did Rensselaer Little League, too. I was on their board over there.
Okay.
Yes.
And is there anything else you'd like to add before we go?
Oh, no. I just want to thank everybody for the support. I'd like to thank all the sponsors in the city of Troy. Because, you know, when you reach out to people in the city of Troy, you know, the small businesses and the major business in Troy, they never say no to Troy Central Lowly. And I just want to say, you know, thank you. I really want to actually let them know that their work is never undone. And their work never goes unnoticed, because the signs that we put up every year with their names on it around that baseball field, if it wasn't for them supporting the Little League, which was supported by the community, there wouldn't be no Little League right now. So I'd like to thank them, you know, truly from my heart. You know, without their blessings, there wouldn't be no happiness for the children.
Well, Mr. Henderson, I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time out of your day and speaking with me about all the amazing things you do within the community and the event you're about to do that's going to improve, you know, the neighborhood.
And thank you once again for having me.
Of course. Well, this has been HMM correspondent Erica Dulcinea Diggs, and I spoke with Mac Henderson.